Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Live Through Jesus podcast with Courtney Gilmore. On this episode, when God calls us, we answer. This is 1 Samuel 3. So let me ask you a question. Do you think if a stranger called you and disguised their voice as your loved one, would you be able to tell the difference? If the voice was exactly the same, I'm not talking about being able to distinguish their voice, but if you talked to this person long enough, do you think that you would be able to realize, hey, even though this sounds like my daughter or mom or whatever, it's not. And I know that because I know how she talks to me, and this is not how she talks to me. These aren't the types of things that she would say. These aren't the types of things that she would say to me or the way that she would say them to me. And I just know her well enough to know this isn't her, even though it sounds like her. Do you think that you would be able to do that? I think that most of us, if we talk to a person long enough that we know really well, we would be able to realize, hey, something's off here. I don't think this is that person. I think also if one of our loved ones was kidnapped and they had a gun to their head and the kidnapper was saying, I need you to call your parents and I want you to tell them this. If our daughter was able to think about it long enough and she had a length of time, she could probably signal to us, even though it actually is her and she's saying the things that the kidnapper is wanting her to say. She could probably say something in a different way that would make us realize something's off. This doesn't make sense. My daughter wouldn't say this to me. She wouldn't call me at this time. She wouldn't do it like this. She would never ask that of me, something like that, right? And so that is the same way that it is with God. That's how we can recognize his voice, because it's very difficult for us sometimes. Sometimes we think, I don't know who's talking to me. You know, I'm hearing this voice in my head, but maybe that's just my voice, or maybe Satan is trying to trick me. Maybe this is not God. And the better we get to know God, the better we know if it's him talking to us or someone else, just like if it were our loved one. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today in our lesson, is that Samuel is called by God. And at first, he doesn't know God's voice because he doesn't know God well enough to know his voice. And so our lesson begins this week in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, and it begins to tell the story about Samuel and Eli and how God called him. And so at this time, Samuel was probably a teenager. It says that he has been ministering under the tutelage of Eli for all of his life, and now he's probably a young teenager, and it says that Eli's eyes have grown dim, so he's getting older. And back then, they had a lampstand in the temple, and it ran on oil. And so they would light this lamp every night at twilight, and this lamp would burn all night long until the oil ran out. And so they had the exact amount that would last them all night long. And Eli probably had his own chambers outside of the temple, out in the courtyard somewhere, but very close to the temple. But it says that Samuel was sleeping actually inside of the temple. And so Samuel had lit the lamp, and then they had both gone to bed. And sometime just before the lamp had burned out, so sometime early morning, Samuel hears this voice, and it just says his name. It's just like someone calling out to him. And the only one that's around is Eli. And so he thinks that Eli's calling to him. And so he gets up and he goes to Eli and he says, yes, you called for me. What do you need? And Eli's like, I didn't holler at you. Go back to bed. And so Samuel goes back to bed. But then when he gets back in bed, he hears his name again. So he gets back up and he says, yes, Eli, what do you need? And Eli's like, I'm not calling for you. I don't know what you're talking about. Go to bed. And so Samuel gets back in bed. And when he hears his name again and he goes back to Eli for the third time, Eli's like, now I know what's happening. God is calling on you. So when you get back in bed, the next time you hear your voice, don't come to me. I'm not calling you. It's God. And so you need to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And so that's what Samuel does. He gets back in bed. And when God calls his name, this time he says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so then God gives him a message. So here is what God says to Samuel the very first time that he ever speaks to him. This is verse 11. He says, then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone hear it will tingle. So they're going to be paying attention. And he says, on that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I've spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I will declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God. And he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. And so the first time that God ever speaks to Samuel, he's telling him what is about to happen to Eli and his family. And he's already given this information to Eli. Remember, he already told Eli, you put your sons above me, and so your house will no longer carry the priesthood, and both of your sons are going to die on the same day. And he doesn't give all of those details to Samuel. He just tells him something is about to happen to Eli's family. And I want you to know that it is because Eli's sons have blasphemed my name. And that means like abused God's name, misused it, misrepresented him, violated him in some way. So it did damage to God because they represented God and they were doing everything for their own gain and they were evil. And so everyone looks to them like they're, you know, a representation of God. And so they have completely disregarded all of God's rules. This isn't someone that just disobeys God or, you know, doesn't always act the way that God wants them to act, yet calls themselves a Christian. No, it's like completely opposite of what a godly person should be, yet they're calling themselves by God's name and doing the complete opposite. You know, that's what these priests were doing. We've talked about this before. And actually, that kind of sin, just like Eli said, remember Eli told them in chapter 2, he said, this is what he said. He said, if someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who is there to intercede for him? And so that's what he's saying here. He's saying they blasphemed me. And so their sin is against me. It's not against anyone else. And so their sacrifices are not going to be accepted because they disgraced my sacrifices. They despised them. And so if they're not going to regard my sacrifices as something important and pay attention to the way that I want them to do things in that manner, then I'm not going to regard their sacrifices on this matter, which is exactly what Eli was saying. And the thing that Eli also should have listened to, though, is that blasphemy is actually punishable by death. And so he should have put a stop to this with his sons. And if they would not stop, then their punishment should have been death. And so God is saying here, I'm going to put them to death. They do not deserve to carry on the priestly name. And so this is about to all change. And he's telling Samuel all of this, okay? And then in verse 15, it says, so Samuel got up in the morning and opened the doors, but he was afraid to talk to Eli. He didn't want to tell Eli what God had said about him. But Eli asked, because he knows that he just had his first encounter with God. And so he says, what did God say to you? And then he says, don't hide from me whatever he said, and don't lie to me. I really want to know what he said. So Eli must have had an indication that if God was coming to Samuel right now, he was telling him something that he couldn't tell Eli to tell Samuel, right? That he wanted to tell him directly, and maybe it was about Eli. And so Samuel told him everything. He said, this is what God said to me. And miraculously, this was Eli's response. This is the end of verse 18. He said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. And so what he's basically saying is, he's a boss. There's nothing I can do about it. He's God. And if that's what's right to him, then that's what's right, because he always does what's right. Eli did know God, right? He knew God. He knew exactly what his character was. So he knows that God is just, which means fair. He knows God is fair. He knows that God is not going to hand down a sentence that isn't fair. He knows that God is good, that God knows all things, and that everything God does is perfect and right. And so no arguing with him, right? And so he says, if that's what God thinks is right, then I accept it. It's kind of like a kid that knows they did something wrong and their parents punish them. And they're like, I wish the punishment wasn't so harsh, but you're the parent and I did do something wrong. So there you go. You know, if we're able to accept that as kids from our parents, that's the situation that he is in. And so this chapter ends with, beginning in verse 19, it says, so Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Israel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. And then the Lord appeared again to him in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And so when it says all of Israel from Dan to Beersheba, those are the northern and southernmost parts of Israel. And so what he's saying is everyone in Israel, all the way, you know, from north to south, knows that Samuel's a prophet and that God is with him. And so God is with Samuel, and it says that none of God's words fell to the ground. Nothing that he said was going to happen, you know, fell away, didn't happen. And maybe that's why God told Samuel, because he wanted Samuel to know, okay, when this happens, this is a punishment to Eli and his sons, and this is why they're being punished. Because remember, Samuel is ministering to the Lord in the temple. And so he's wanting him to understand that, you know, this is important. Your job is important, and I need you to take it seriously, and I need you to do it the way that I ask you to do it. And so, this is the encounter that Samuel had with God. And so now let's talk about when God calls us. How do we know it's his voice? You know, we might think to ourselves, if God would only talk to me like a normal person, I would actually know it's him, right? I've got that before. I'm like, I wish he would just talk to me like my friends do, and then I would know it was him. But realize, God was talking in an audible voice to Samuel, and Samuel had no idea it was him. Why didn't Samuel know it was him? It said in the chapter, the reason that Samuel didn't know that it was God. One reason was because God didn't really give special revelation to one specific person much at that time. So he didn't maybe expect it. But another reason is because God had never spoken to him before. And it says in verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the reason that Samuel didn't know God's voice is because he didn't know God. He didn't know him well enough to know what his voice would sound like. And, you know, for us, God's voice sounds just like our voice and just like Satan's voice, because it's just a voice in our head. And so that's the reason I gave the analogy earlier of what if a stranger were to be able to disguise their voice with some sort of AI tool or something that was able to, you know, make you think that it really was your loved one, that it sounded exactly like your loved one, because the voices in our head sound in tone exactly the same. And so the only way that we can know if it's God or if it's not is if we really know the things that God would say, if we know his character, if we know how he speaks and the things that he would tell us to do and not tell us to do, and, you know, how he would interact with us. And so if we want to answer God's call, the first thing we have to do is know him well enough to know he's calling us, right? That is our first job. And this doesn't just happen as soon as we say, oh, okay, I'm going to follow God now. I welcome you into my life, God. it isn't just automatic where we're like, oh, now I can hear from God. I know every time he's talking to me, I completely understand, you know, everything that he's asking me to do. And I never have any question about it. It's a process. It's a practice. We have to learn to know God's voice. We have to know more about him so that we can know that it's him. And we get to know God the exact same way that we get to know any other person. How do we get to know people? We get to know them by spending time with them, by listening to them talk, by watching them interact and handle certain situations. That's how we get to know them, right? We see how they act, how they react, all of the things that they would say and do. We learn about their past and their future, and we see what their personality is. And we do the same thing with God. The way that we get to know God best is reading his word, because we can see how God interacts with other people in the Bible. We can see how he handles things, and we can also see his personality, the character traits that he has. And that helps us to know, what would God actually say to me? What would God not say to me? And that helps us, like, you know, the old bracelets that we used to wear in the 90s would say, you know, what would Jesus do? And you kind of know, what would Jesus do? If you really think about it, you're like, pretty sure that he wouldn't lash out at this person in the way that I'm about to do, you know? And so you kind of know his character. But the more that you get to know him, the better you'll know his character. And then you'll be able to recognize him and distinguish him from other voices. Also, when we pray, it takes practice. It's just like Samuel. I'm sure that the first time Samuel heard his voice, obviously he didn't know it, but once he recognized it, then the next time he heard God's voice, he knew it a little bit better, right? He recognized God's voice just a little bit better. And so that's the same thing with us. When we pray and we pay attention, we're not just talking to God, but we're also listening. We're trying to hear what he has to say to us. Then, you know, his spirit will begin to speak to our spirit, and we'll begin to recognize, oh, that's God talking to me. Also, God works through circumstances and other people. And we'll start, if we pay attention, if we're praying about things and then we pay attention, we'll start to see answers, you know, and we'll think, oh, I think that's God answering my prayer because this is something I asked about. And you'll recognize it. God also speaks to us through open and closed doors. So if he wants us to go in a certain direction, he'll make it real easy. He'll open that door wide for us. Sometimes if he's like, no, no, that's not the direction I want you to go, he'll slam that door shut, right? And so that is kind of how God speaks to us. And so the more time we spend with him, the more we'll know how he acts. And in Ephesians 5:1, it says, be imitators of God as dear children. It's like, the only way we can imitate God is to know what God would act like. And so we have to pay attention to him, read his word, and pay attention to the things that he does. In the Old Testament, the things that God does, and in the New Testament, the things that Jesus does, and how he interacts with people, and what he would say, and what he would do. And so once we kind of know God a little bit, and we, like I said, it's a process, so we'll know him better and better all of the time. But if we know him and he calls our name, then what's the second thing we do? We have to answer, right? And so in Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will dine with him and he with me. And so, you know, we need to be attentive. And when God knocks, we need to answer the door. And, you know, our response should be exactly like Samuel's. We should be able to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And that's telling God, first of all, I know that it's you. And second of all, that I know you have authority to tell me what to do because I'm calling you, Lord. And I also am going to do it because I'm calling myself your servant, right? And so we're reiterating to God, you are in charge of me. I recognize that you're talking to me and I'm going to listen and then I'm going to obey, because listening without obedience is worthless, right? And so in James 4:17, it says, therefore to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's a sin. So if we hear God's voice and we reject it and we say, no, I don't want to do it, then that is a sin. It'd be better for us to have not heard God at all than to reject his call, than to say, I'm not listening to you. I reject what you have to say. Rejection is rebellion against God, and rebellion against God is dangerous. Listen to what it says in 1 Samuel 12, 14 to 15. It says, if you fear the Lord and you serve him and you obey his voice and you don't rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but you rebel, so that tells you if you don't obey God's voice, then you are rebelling. And if you rebel against the commandment of God, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. And so that's the last thing we want. If we turn against God, then he might just turn against us. And then he's our enemy instead of our friend. That's not what we want. Now, thankfully, if we call back on God and we, ask for his forgiveness and say, come back, I messed up. He always does, because he's also a gracious God. But we don't want to risk that. We don't want to turn away from God and go our own way. First of all, we know our way is no good anyway, even if we think it is, And then second of all, we don't want to be rebellious against God, because we don't want God to be against us. James 4, 6 to 8 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So submit to God and resist the devil. Rebel against the devil and yield to God. Do what he asks. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you want to be close to God, then get close to him. If you want him to be close to you, then get to know him better. That's what he's saying, the whole thing we're talking about. And then if we do know him well, we will follow him, right? Just like Eli, when Eli didn't even like what God had to say, he trusted him. He knew that God was worthy of his trust, and so he was willing to obey him. Psalm 9:10 says, those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So when you know him, you trust him. When we know that he knows all the things and we know none of the things, and when we know that he is always fair, he is always gracious, he's always merciful, he's always patient with us, he's always good, then we can trust him. Then whatever he tells us to do, we know that it's not going to be bad for us and it's not going to be wrong. And so we can trust him. Exodus 34, 5 to 7 says, now the Lord descended in the cloud, and he stood there with him, Moses, and he proclaimed the name of the Lord, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And then Deuteronomy 32, 4 says, he's the rock. His work is perfect, for his ways are justice, a God of truth without injustice, righteous and upright is he. And if we don't know these things about God, then we might be tempted not to trust him, right? Because that's why we don't trust people, because sometimes people don't know what they're talking about, right? We know that people don't always know all things, and so they might be wrong. Sometimes we don't trust people because we also know people are selfish and they might have their better interest at heart instead of ours. Sometimes we don't trust people because we know they're not just, because they're just seeking power and they might be doing something that's better for someone else and not good for us, right? These are reasons that we don't trust people, but God's none of those things. And if we know that God is none of those things, then we can trust him. Then we know that he is the type of person that we can follow. And so, first, get to know God. Work on knowing him more and more. Seek him. God says if we seek him, we will find him if we seek him with our whole heart. And so seek him with your whole heart so that you can know him better. So that when he calls, you're like, oh, I know who that is. I know exactly who is calling me. And then you can say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Acknowledge him as your Lord, and let him know you're willing to do whatever he asks, and then actually do it. The last verse I'm going to read to you is a parable about two sons, and it's found in Matthew 21, 28 to 32. And it says, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and he said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' But he replied, 'I don't want to.' Yet afterwards he regretted it and he went. And then the man came to his second son and he said the same thing. And he replied, 'I will, sir,' except he didn't go. And so then he asked the people, he says, 'Which of these did the will of the father?' And they said, 'The first one.' And he's like, 'Right. Even if they say they're not going to, but they do, that's good. Because what matters is whether you do it.'" I mean, we want to tell God that we will do what he says and then do it. But regardless, the important part is doing it. And so if we say, "Oh, yes, I recognize your voice, God, you're speaking. Yes, I'm listening." And you don't add in the "I'm your servant" part, then he's going to say, "You're listening, but are you going to do what I say?" And so we have to also be willing to do what he says, because that's kind of the most important part about listening. If we hear him and don't do it, then we're like that second brother who said he would go, but he doesn't. And so get to know God so you know his call. And when he calls you, answer and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So that's all we have for today. Next week, we're going to just continue with the story of Samuel. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss that episode. Also, if you would like to read this lesson, then you can go to livethroughjesus.substack.com and you can subscribe there, become a paid subscriber, and you can get each one of these studies every week and also access to the previous studies of the Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And you can get all of those at any time. It's only $6 a month. And the great thing about a digital study is you can click on all of these verses and you can read them there for yourself. You can change them to different versions, all of those things. So it's a personalized study there for you. And if you want to do it with a group, it's a very cheap way to do it, because you can get just one subscription for $6 a month or $60 a year. And then you can just print out all the material that you want. So that's an option for you. If you don't want to become a paid subscriber, no problem. These are still free. And then also, I have free blog posts on the Substack. So you can go and you can read kind of what I've learned about this, but not the Bible study. So I do another podcast that is called Live Through Jesus Weekly Devotions. And those are the blog posts that I write on Substack. And it's just kind of what I've learned about this lesson and not the entire study. So you can read those for free on Substack. You can also subscribe to Live Through Jesus Weekly Devotions podcast or YouTube channel. And then you can listen to those there. And then also join me on all the social media platforms at Live Through Jesus. And I'll be posting clips from this episode and then also scripture from this episode. So you can take those and, you know, save them or send them to people or whatever you want to do if you join me on the social media. So that's all I have for today. Thanks and have a good day.